What is the mark of a spiritual man or woman? What is the mark of one who is trusting in the Lord in the battles of life? Well, let's look at David in Psalm 44 and the verse 6. He says, "For I will not trust in my bow. I will not trust in my bow, neither shall my sword save me." Now, I like that text because it ties into David going out against Goliath with no sword. And David was truly relying on the Lord. And here he is again stating in this song written for the worship of God's people, "I will not trust in my bow. I will not trust in my sword." He was trusting in the Lord. Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher, and we're delighted that you can join with us here in the program again today. And we are returning to the message on "The battle is the Lord's." Those are the words of David as he went out against Goliath. But the truth remains ever the same. And now here in the 21st century, in this new year, we are called into this spiritual battle. We've already learned that the battle is set. Christians cannot opt out. We are in a battle to the death, a battle all the days of our lives here on earth to stand up for Jesus, the Son of God, and to proclaim this glorious gospel in a hostile world. Philistines are all around us, and we need power to serve God and to worship Him each and every day. So I invite you to stay with us now for this message from the pulpit of our church on "The battle is the Lord's." Because the battle is the Lord's, and because God is a God of war who is sure to fight for the right and for truth and for His own glory, the battle is sure, meaning that the victory is sure. Whoever conquered fighting against God? No man has fought God and prospered, not even one. Not angels. Those who rose up in pride in heaven, they were cast out. When the devil on the earth destroyed the Garden of Eden, breaking the covenant or causing Adam to break that covenant and bringing sin into the world, he was cast out of the garden, as was Adam and Eve. And of course, Satan now is a defeated foe because of Calvary. And when creature rises up against creator, there is no question about the outcome. God will win the battle. Not angels, not pre-diluvians. And that's the people who lived during Noah's day before the flood. What a wicked world it was. The vileness, the violence, the ungodliness. But God won the battle. He destroyed the wicked with that worldwide flood. Not Sodom. Sodom that defied the law of God, lived for the flesh, came under the direct judgment of God. Not Egypt. God actively fought for Israel. And that's the point I want to make at this point of the message. God didn't just release general power and allow the clouds to carry some magnetic forces. God intervened in specific ways to fight for Israel. Let's go back in our Bibles here to Exodus 14. Exodus 14 and verse 13. Now here you have the children of Israel on the very edge of the Red Sea. And it seems that they're locked in, mountains on one side, sea to another, Pharaoh and his armies coming in the other directions. And Moses said unto the people, "Fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. Now we know the story, we know the event, but I want to read on right down to verse 18. Just catch the whole tenor of the statement here. Moses speaking, verse 14. The Lord shall fight for you. It's God entered into the battle, and ye shall hold your peace. The Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. But lift thou up thy rod and stretch out thine hand over the sea and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry the ground through the midst of the sea. And I, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them, and I will get me honor upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, upon his chariots and upon his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh. And of course, the history is that the Egyptians perished where the Israelites went across on dry ground. God, through the rod of Moses, intervened to fight for Israel. And this is what we see right through the Bible. God intervening to fight for his people. Another great example is Gideon. Whenever he was called to fight against the Midianites, and the Lord said, you have too many. And they got whittled down from what was a 20,000 right down to 300 men. Why? Well, if you look at Judges 7 and verse 2, you'll discover the reason. Judges 7 and verse 2. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me. Now that's an interesting word. Vaunt simply means to boast. And I'm going to do it in a way that man will get none of the honor. I'm going to reduce the Israelites' army's numbers to a ridiculous proportion. 300 men against the mighty Midianites. The Lord did it in a way that he would get the glory. And of course, the Midianites were put to flight. What is the mark of a spiritual man or woman? What is the mark of one who is trusting in the Lord in the battles of life? Well, let's look at David in Psalm 44 and the verse 6. He says, for I will not trust in my bow. I will not trust in my bow, neither shall my sword save me. Now, I like that text because it ties into David going out against Goliath with no sword. And David was truly relying on the Lord. And here he is again stating in this song written for the worship of God's people, I will not trust in my bow. I will not trust in my sword. He was trusting in the Lord. Now, we've given some examples, the angels, the people in Noah's day, Sodom, Egypt. What about Babylon? Babylon, that mighty Persian and nation of the Medes with vast resources. And yet, when Daniel was there, what mighty things God did and intervened to save his people from perishing. Not only that Babylon, but I'm thinking of the future Babylon. The Babylon which the Puritans and the Reformers have interpreted as the Church of Rome. And in Revelation, every time that you read of Babylon, they're falling. And I looked up every reference in Revelation where you have the reference to Babylon. I'm going to read them to you. Chapter 14, 8. And there followed another angel saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And there is a religious system that has persecuted, that has brought havoc amongst the true Christians and caused many martyrs, but she's fallen under the wrath of God. in verse chapter 16, 19. This is Revelation now, chapter 16, 19. And the great city was divided into three parts. The cities of the nations fell, and great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. And chapter 17, verse 5, and upon her head was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And he cried, and then chapter 18, verse 2, and he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the Great is fallen and is become the habitation of devils and the hold of every foul spirit and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. And then the last occasion where Babylon appears in Revelation, chapter 18, 10, standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, Alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour is thy judgment come. Now, there's actually one more verse. I hadn't scrolled up far enough to catch this one. Revelation 18:21, and it says, A mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and cast it into the sea, saying, Thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down and shall be found no more at all. Does God fight? Is God a God of war? Does God reckon with his enemies? As I mentioned, the reformers interpreted this Babylon as the Church of Rome, and she was the dominant enemy of Europe and of peoples around the world. And today, the Church of Rome is not doing very well. She is falling. The grip that she once had upon Irish Catholics, Mexican Catholics, third world countries, she is losing that grip very quickly. And of course, it's turning to a secular agenda, which is not good, not any better. But the Church of Rome does not have that fear dominance that it once had. And of course, it's the victory is to God's people, because Christ got the victory at Calvary. And we are on the winning side tonight as the Church of Christ, because Satan is cast down. There's a text where the Lord Jesus said, I saw Satan fall like lightning. The battle is the Lord's. He's building his church. We're told in Jude 24 that one day he will present his church spotless before the Father. That's you and me tonight. What a wonderful thing to be in Christ, serving him in his church, because that church shall be set before God. My last example is Islam. Islam will not conquer against Christ. Islam professes to be the religion of the sword, and she is. Wherever it seeks dominance and evangelism, it's by the sword. But Islam has no savior, no answer to sin, no remedy for the broken heart, no ministry of mercy for the poor, needy soul. It's a religion that is bankrupt with a metal sword, nothing of the sword of the Spirit. And so tonight we take hope that the battle is sure. Do you believe that tonight? If you don't believe it, you'll not be a man or woman of prayer. You'll not engage in Christian service. If you are filled with doubt that this is a lost cause, then you will never serve God with all your heart and the zeal of your soul. But if, like David, and you are going out against that giant with this confidence, the battle is the Lord's, then we do so with great assurance. The battle is simple. And let's go back now to 1 Samuel and chapter 17 and verse 47. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear. Now, you remember the comment of Goliath disdaining David because he came to him just as a youth with staves, no sword. And here you will see David majoring on this point, that all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear. And then if you go down to verse 50, the end of the story, the outcome of the battle, David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone and smote the Philistine and slew him, but there was no sword in the hand of David. You see how the Spirit of God put that conclusion in the matter. There was no hand, no sword in the hand of David. The battle is simple because God's weapons are not carnal, but spiritual. And God uses men and women of faith. He uses men and women of prayer. He uses men and women of loyalty to Christ, men and women of faithfulness to the book. This is our sword. This is our weapon, the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. And we are now to learn to use it. And as David went out against Goliath with a sling and stones, which he had well practiced, we are to take this book and be well versed in it and learn to use it well. And let us be a church that is thrusting the hearts of men with the Word of God, that we might see its power in men's hearts. These are times when men's hearts are failing. These are times when many grow cold because the days are evil. Many are losing heart. And we need to be a people and a church that have this David-like spirit. The battle is the Lord. And our weapons are very simple. We do not want gimmicks. We do not want the carnal show of wisdom and manly power. But we are to do what Paul said, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. That's the spiritual weapon that the Lord has given to us. And it's not rocket science. It's not some mysterious yoga-like power. The scriptures of truth, the revealed word of God, and where there are people who fear God, fear sin, and cling to God's word, there will be power and blessing. And we will see our Goliath fall. Now, I'm not going to do what the charismatics do and say, you know, your fear is your Goliath. Your financial problems are your Goliath. And go down the list on that. We are a spiritual people fighting a spiritual enemy. But what steps are you taking to achieve this? I promise to you tonight, as a congregation, that I will in this year endeavor to be more thoroughly biblical. How can I do that? I can be careful that my messages from this pulpit are fairly and squarely based on the clear truths of Scripture. And I will present them in a way that you can take them home and look them up. That you can stand not upon just the comments of the preacher, but upon the written word. So that the whole process of church life, church ministry, is to build you up in the word. That you may be equipped to fight in the Lord's name. I ask you to pray much for the preaching of God's Word in this year. I believe earnestly in specific prayer. Sometimes we go to prayer and someone asked you the next day, what did you pray for? You couldn't remember. It was all so general, just bless me and bless everybody and bless all the Christians in the world. I'm not mocking. I'm not berating. But we need to pray specifically. And one specific prayer I would ask you to pray every day as you commit to the life of this church. Pray, Lord, make our minister a man of the word. Give him discipline to search the scriptures through the week. Meet with him in the quiet place that he may feed the souls of the people from the pulpit. Give him the Holy Ghost and power in preaching. And then we need to pray for sinners to be converted. And if you believe, like David, that the battle is the Lord's, this means we cast it upon him. We're not the whole answer. We're just a little cog in the works. And we need the power and blessing of God upon our hearts and upon our ministry. And we need to see hardness dealt with. The Lord has the power to harden. We saw that with Pharaoh and with the Egyptians. But the Lord also has the power to tenderize hearts and to lead men and women with an ear for the word, a responsive heart, and a readiness to receive that word. These are the prayers that will make the difference. And we plead with you tonight to be men and women of prayer in the year to come. And let this text of David, the battle is the Lord's, truly be our experience as we serve him in this year to come. You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher, and I hope this message on David conquering Goliath, wherein he said, the battle is the Lord's, will stir you to serve the Lord in this new year. We need people to stand up for Christ. We need to get back to the gospel, back to the Bible, back to prayer, back to reaching a world that is lost in sin. And the gospel, and only the gospel, will turn the hearts of men Godward. And I trust that you'll pray daily for this Let the Bible Speak ministry, that you'll be in touch, let us know you're listening in and be a part of it. And of course, we invite you to our church services as well. Just want to rehearse a few things here on this matter of the battle is the Lord's and that the battle is simple. Simple does not mean that's easy. It does not mean that we do not fight terrible forces. We fight not flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and the princes of the air. We fight the devil and all the cohorts of hell. And so we are in a great spiritual battle. But the battle is simple in that we're called to trust in the Lord. He is our conqueror. He has won the battle, and he gives the victory to his people. But we must come and place our faith and confidence in the Lord and serve him faithfully. This is not a time for laziness. It's not a time for sitting back and waiting to see. This is a time to get engaged. And we do that by using the means that God has ordained, his word. That's the sword of the Spirit. We're to put on the armor of righteousness, the breastplate that will protect our hearts, the helmet of salvation, and take the shield of faith. And we invite you to come along to our church and get involved in this battle for the Lord. Every Christian should be a part of a Bible-preaching, gospel, soul-winning church where the ministry of the gospel is cutting into the territories of darkness and of men. And so may the Lord work in you and draw you and bring you to that place of service for Christ in this new year. And again, if I can be of any personal help, feel free to give me a call. So let's bow in prayer and just commit ourselves to the Lord today. Father, we give thanks to thee for the gospel of the Lord Jesus, for that great victory that was won at the cross, where our Lord Jesus Christ put to flight every power of the wicked one. And we thank thee that Satan is already struck a fatal blow, and that one day you shall cast him down to the very pit of hell. We thank thee that you give the victory to your people, and we pray today that thou'll be pleased, O Lord, in these days to give us the Holy Spirit and power to serve thee. O Lord, deliver us from weakness, deliver us from the fear of man, and revive us again that we may serve thee with all our being. And now draw near to us and answer prayer for your people, and we shall give all praise to thy wondrous name. Amen. Thank you for listening to our Let the Bible Speak broadcast. This is Ian Gallagher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. You'll also find our podcast button on the top of the homepage of our website. We are on the air Sundays 9:30 a.m., for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m., on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services, Sundays 10:30 and 6 p.m. Yes, we have an evening preaching service in our church at 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view our church services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We are located two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. We also have a church in Victoria, 733 Van Alman Avenue, Sundays 10:30 and 6. Our website again is www.ltbs.ca. Remember to join us here again on this station, Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. as we let the Bible speak.